Evening. I would like to look in the book of Joshua this evening. Book of Joshua, chapter 1. People in the sound booth were wondering if I was going to show up. I said, we have to be here early. I'm speaking. And I had... My eyes have been bugging me for the last 3 weeks. I had used my glasses, and finally today I was able to use my contact lenses. I took them out this afternoon, put one in, and it went in upside down, way up inside my eye, and got stuck up there. So anyway, we found it. And I threw them away. So chapter 1. Okay, first of all, this is a very important book. It's a pivotal book. It acts like the book of Acts does in relation to the Gospels. You have the Gospels telling the story of the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the book of Acts, you find the people using that message and taking it in and going forth. And with this book here, it corresponds in the same way you have the first five books of the Old Testament, the story of Israel, the birth of Israel, and their spiritual life, and then they go in to conquer the land. So it's the same relationship. We'll look at this chapter together, read it. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast, and there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that which is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for with in 3 days shall you pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth to you to possess it, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spoke Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he has given you. And they also shall have possessed the land which the Lord your God gives them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side, Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Lord, will bless to us the reading of his word. I want to break up this passage. Verses 1 to 9, we have a call from God. And then in verses 10 to 15, we have the challenge from Joshua. And then verses 16 to 18, we have the commitment from the people. I want to think about, first of all, this whole book of Joshua. Yesterday, I put on a DVD and I listened to the whole book of Joshua, 24 chapters. And it was pretty hard to sit down and read 24 chapters in a row, but it's pretty easy to put on a CD player and turn it on and just listen and let the Word of God sink into you, and you get the whole picture. The whole book of Joshua, verses chapters 1 to 12, deal with the conquest of the land. And then chapters 13 to 22 deal with the distribution of the land. So first they go in and they conquer the land. They defeat all the tribes that are in there. And then it starts to be distributed. And then verses chapter 23 and chapter 24, we have the farewell words of Joshua to the people of God. If you were to look at Joshua was born a slave. Joshua was born in Egypt. Sometimes we get right into the midst of the story and we forget where he was and where he started and what his upbringing was. But he grew up as a slave. And he was with Moses when the people came out, they crossed the Red Sea. He was one of the 12 spies that they sent into the promised land. And he said, okay, we can conquer this land. The Lord has given it to us, we can conquer it. And then the story comes back, ten were bad, as we sing with the Sunday school children, and two were good. And that's the story that we remember as you tell this story. And then the book of Joshua, it has some highlights. First of all, the first big event, is Joshua was commissioned by God. And we have him being the new leader. How does the book start? It says, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now you are to take these people and cross over the Jordan. So then we have the event of crossing the Jordan, and the waters opening up, just like the Red Sea. So he had that experience. He saw it happen the first time, so he believed it could happen the second time. So that's why, as young men, when we're working with older men, we get the experience to be able to believe God. This morning, we had an announcement in the meeting that Brother Dan would become part of the oversight. Okay, well, Dan has been working with them. You don't just take a man that has never had any experience with dealing with people or any involvement in the Lord's work, and then all of a sudden we say, well, look, he's going to be the new elder in the meeting, because lots of churches do that. They say, okay, well, who are the most handsome guys, or who are the most richest guys, the funniest guys? We're going to have a membership just like they do, or like an election just like they do down in the States. We'll take these 10 men, and then we'll vote who's going to be our elders for the next 2 years. But that's not the way God does it. So God has touched men's hearts to be involved in the work of the Lord. So Joshua wasn't a guy that was just sitting around doing nothing. Joshua was a man that was working side by side with Moses as Moses went in to cross the Red Sea and to go in. He was ready to go in, him and Caleb. And so another interesting thing is that he had something else in common with Moses. He was 80 years old when his greatest work began. He was 40 years old, and then he came out of the wilderness, and then he was ready to go into the promised land. He was 80 years old when God gave him this job of leadership. So the call from God came in four different ways. First of all, it was a call to claim the land. That was his first job to do. That's in verses 1 to 4. And then it was a call to have confidence in the Lord. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. This morning, our brother was speaking to us about our relationship with the Lord. When's the last time you told the Lord, I love you? It's good that we have some of these hymns, because some of the hymns have those words in there, and it makes us contemplate what God has done for us. We used to sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." And then it was a call to carry out the law. This is a very important verse. In verse 8, it says, "Now the book of this law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in." And then it was a call to courage and leadership. Be strong and of good courage. That's repeated 5 different times in this book. 4 times in this chapter, we find these words, be strong and of good courage. So God had to speak to him in this way because the command of chain, the chain of command is passing. Moses has died, and now we need someone that is able to lead us in. Why didn't God use Caleb to bring them in? No, God chose Joshua. And sometimes maybe you're sitting there and you say, well, why isn't God using me? God wants to use you. But maybe you're not available like Joshua was. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're the guy that says, well, I'd really like to, but tonight the Vancouver Canucks are playing, so I'm going to stay home and watch that game. You know, these are real things that happen in assemblies in Vancouver. That's what they would say. Here in PEI, they might say the Leafs, but I don't think too many people would say that. They'd rather be here than watch the Leafs be losing again, you know? Anyway, it was a call from God. But the interesting part of the thing is, God did not start speaking to Joshua until after Moses died. There was a definite transition. And this morning, we were announcing the entrance of a brother into the leadership. A little while ago, we were announced Brother Leonard coming on board in the leadership. And it was interesting, as I was standing back, and I've been part of the leadership when I lived in Latter British Columbia, and I know the difficulties that are involved in being an elder. I know the stress. I know that he will encounter problems that you and I never, ever hear. He hears all the gory details. When someone goes off the rails and does something destructive or something abusive, Leonard will hear it, and we won't hear it. Thank God we don't hear it. Real problems. I remember I was standing there, and somebody come up and says, congratulations, and I'm thinking, that's not the word you want to say to Brother Leonard. Say, brother, I'll pray for you. I'll hold you up before the throne of grace to give you wisdom. Because it's not only... it's not even the decisions we make, but it's the words we say that are very important. And so maybe we have Caleb. He was a very aggressive individual, 85 years old. He said, I'm going in to capture that part of the land that you held back from me. He's 85 years of age, that land of the giants. I'm going up there, the land that nobody else wanted. Caleb said, I'm going to take it. So maybe Caleb was a bit of a more of an aggressive individual. And Joshua was more of a statesman that was able to speak to the people and calm the people, and the people had confidence in him. So we have these words, Moses, my servant, is dead, but the God of Moses is alive. That's what Joshua would soon learn, that God of Moses was the one that was verily speaking to him at this very moment. Verse 3, we see every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. You know, it's a very interesting thing. The Lord gave them 300,000 square miles. Do you know how much they occupied? 30,000. Isn't that amazing? God has given them 300,000 square miles, and they occupy 30,000. What's that? One-tenth. Doesn't that sort of ring true with our spiritual lives? God has given all the riches of heavenly places. He has given us all the blessings in Christ Jesus, but we don't come into them. But the whole idea was, it says, every place that your foot shall tread, that shall be yours. So I remember as a little boy watching programs like Bonanza and these these programs were. The first settlers came to the United States, and what they would do in the morning, they would come to a new area, and the captain would be there, and he would say to all the men that were there with their wives and their families, listen, as much as you can pace off, you can run this way, and then you could dig a stake in there, and then you can go that way and dig a stake in there, and then you can come back that way, and that piece of land will be yours. And I remember seeing all these men, and they're getting their horses, and they're running full blast to try to get the biggest amount of land. And they had surveyed it out, looking at the best places in the beginning. And that's what happens even with the children of Israel when the land was going to be divided upon for them. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will fail you not. So here we have two promises of the character of God. First, he's omnipotent. He says, I will never fail you. And then we see another promise. He's omnipresent. I will never forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be right there whenever you need me. You just call upon me and I will answer. What kind of a relationship do we have with God? Brian talked about a relationship with our wives this morning. Could you imagine? He said, you go to bed last night, you don't say good night, I love you. You get up in the morning, you don't say good morning, how are you? You know, you just sit there and drinking your coffee and eating your cereal. And then you get here to the church, you go home, and you sit there and where's my dinner? And it used to be like that. A lot of houses. Maybe it still does. Maybe it still happens here in PEI. I've never been in houses like that, but I've heard stories about some people, like he gave an example this morning, the wife hadn't heard I love you in 30 years, Well, I didn't say I didn't love you, so you must know that I love you, or I buy all the groceries, I pay for the heat and to heat the house and things like that. So, and then we have in verses 7 and 8 a call to carry out the law. Like I mentioned, this is a pivotal verse in the book of the Old Testament. Why? Because up to this point, God had spoken to men and women personally. When God wanted to convey a message to Moses, he spoke to Moses personally. When God wanted to speak to Abraham, he spoke to Abraham. When he wanted to speak to Noah, all of a sudden, there was a great voice from heaven. I don't know how it was, but all of a sudden, Noah, I have found you righteous, and I want you to build an ark. And he gives them all the instructions. And now, all of a sudden, the first five books of the Old Testament have been completed because Moses has died. Moses was the writer of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So now, Joshua has a book to carry in to the promised land with him. And what does God say to him? In verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in. For then shall make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How are we supposed to meditate upon the Word of God if we never read it? Like I mentioned, yesterday I listened to 24 chapters. Some of you guys don't like reading. To read, you say, well, I got my homework, I got my books. I'm so tired of reading. And some people have office jobs. I worked in an insurance agent for about 20 years. When I worked in the insurance office, I was into paperwork all day long. I didn't have a desire to go home and study like I did when I was a meat cutter. When I was a meat cutter, all I'm doing is working bull work all day long and working my heart out physically. So when I went home, I just devoured the books. So sometimes you say, well, I have an excuse because I'm studying all the time. I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, that's why it's nice, and instead of turning on your favorite radio station, put in a CD, or now people have MP3s, just click on Joshua. You can listen to Joshua. You can 15 minutes, you can listen to about five chapters. Another 15 minutes on the way home, you can listen to another five chapters. So you can get the Word of God into your heart. But Joshua, he didn't have any MP3 players. He had the Word of God. And it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So God was speaking to Joshua, saying, listen, it's your responsibility to open up the Word of God and to read it. I'll ask all you young people, are you doing it? I know the old people, that's what they do. As soon as they get up in the morning, they have their tea and they sit down and they have their Bible reading. If I was to ask Harry, I wouldn't be putting him on the spot. Hey, Harry, did you read this morning? But if I asked some of the young people here, did you read this morning? You'd be put on the spot. Dad, don't ask me that. That's the way it is, because it hasn't been ingrained into our character. We don't realize the need for it. But as you get older, you realize man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then I want to think about this in verse 6. We have, be strong and of good courage in verse 6. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. In verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. So God realizes he's just a normal man. He's a normal man like you and I. And God has to encourage him. He's going to be coming into battles. You know, if you were to have to say, listen, my son, he's turning 18 this week. He's all excited. But can you imagine if the year was 1940 and the Canadian government is looking for soldiers? He'd be wishing he wasn't 18. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're 18 years of age. That means you're an adult. That means you can have normal responsibilities of a man. And you get to carry a rifle. And you get to be sent overseas. And you could be blown up on the ship on the way over. Many challenges. So back in those days, they didn't have a ship to worry about sailing across the Atlantic. But he had to go in, and he had a fight, and there would be arrows flying, and there would be swords being swung back and forth, and he'd be ducking his head, trying to avoid getting killed. And he was a leader, so he couldn't be hiding at the back. The leaders in those days, they would go forth, or they would stand in position, and they would send some this way, and they would send some that way. And they were visible, and everybody had their eyes. I was reading the story about Joshua and the story of Jericho, and they won that without even lifting a sword. The walls came down, and then they went in, and there was a great slaughter. But then the next city, the city Ai, all of a sudden, they went up there, and they said, we don't need very many men. They had won their last battle so easily, so they go tearing into the next one, and then they run with their tails behind their back. But there was a reason for it, because of a man by the name of Achan, who had stolen a Babylonish garment and some gold. Another beautiful story we have is the story of Rahab, how she hid the spies and she risked her own life. These were highlights in the book of Joshua that you don't want to miss. It was also the story of the cities of refuge. It was also the story of the Gibeonites who disguised themselves as men on a long journey, and they showed Joshua the moldy bread because they were afraid of being killed. And they said, make a league with us, protect us. We'll become your servants. So it really does us good to go through the Bible on a consistent basis yearly. Read it through year by year. So I mentioned that verse 8 is a pivotal verse in the Old Testament. I want to show you a verse in the book of Deuteronomy, the previous book. We have a couple of verses here. When they were to set up a king in the land, here's what was told them. Verse 18, you can just listen, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. It shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of the law of the book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. So the king was to take a copy of the word of God, and he was to write his own copy in his own hand. So he couldn't later say, I can't read that guy's handwriting. It was his own handwriting, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and the statutes, and to do them, that his heart may be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right nor to the left, and to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So here the king was told to take the word of God and to read it daily. But not only do that, could you imagine copying out the book of Joshua? Could you imagine copying out the book of Matthew? Christians in China are doing that today. Someone will bring a copy of the Word of God, and they will all sit around, and they'll be copying, because that's all they have. Can you imagine that? You've seen those videos on YouTube where all of a sudden Christians in China, they receive a Bible for the first time, and they're just holding it, and they're holding it to their chest, and their tears are running down their face. Something so precious. These Christians have a vital relationship with God. It's not just a Sunday go to church. Oh, it's Wednesday. What time is it? Oh, we better get dressed, you know. You know, it's getting late. Then verses 10 to 15, the challenge from Joshua. So first God was speaking to Joshua, and now we have Joshua speaking to the people. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare victuals, for in 3 days we shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess it. And this is an interesting little portion, because some of the people that were there, there was 2.5 tribes. There were the Reubenites, there were the Gadites, and I believe it was Manasseh was the other half tribe. Well, when they were coming up to the land, they had great flocks and cattle, and they would come up and say, man, this land is perfect for us. We don't have to go into the promised land. This here is perfect. We're just happy. So they went to Moses, and Reuben being the firstborn, you know, like he figured, well, you know, our tribe has first priority. So he goes to Moses, listen, is it okay if we take this land here and look after this land for ourselves? Because this suits us to a T. So Moses said, okay, no problem. But listen, when it's time to go into the promised land, you have to leave your wives and children here, and you have to go over with your brothers and conquer that land. You have to be there with the tribe of Dan. You have to be there with the tribe of Ephraim. You have to be there with the tribe of Judah. You have to go with them, with Simeon and Naphtali. You have to go up into those regions, and you have to fight the battles with them. You have to stand side by side. And this is a real important lesson for us. It was a call to readiness. They had to be ready. The manna was going to cease. They're going to have to plant their own crops. And then as they would go in, when the first day that they had eaten the corn of the new land, the next day the manna was gone. They had possessed the land. So Joshua speaks as one coming from the presence of God with a message of God to the people of God. And when men and women stand for God, they have to get into His Word. They have to read what God has to say. And that's what we want to pass on to young people, to older folks who are listening to what God has to say. I was mentioning that in verse 6, we have these words, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. In verse 9, be strong and of good courage. This is what God was saying to Moses. But it's interesting, when we get down to the end of the chapter, God is saying, or the people say it back to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. We need to encourage one another. There's one more portion when we find that in chapter 10 and verse 25, when they're in the midst of the battle, Joshua says to the people again, be strong and of good courage, because he realized how that helped him. That helped him focus his eyes upon the Lord, and he was able to go ahead into the battle having this word of comfort in his mind. Another lesson that we can learn from Joshua is, remember, as he went in with as one of the spies into the land, he was ready to conquer. Him and Caleb were the two men that were standing side by side and they were ready to fight the battles for the Lord. And then when the ten overruled them, he had to wait for 40 years before he was actually able to enter in. Well, he could have given up. He could have gone home angry. He could have said, well, listen, I wanted to do that, but they wouldn't let me do it. And he could have went home sulking. And that's what happens to people lots of times. Well, if I can't be the one that's doing it, I'm not going to do it. And just give up the battle. But Joshua didn't do that. He went in full force. Verses 16 to 18, the commitment from the people to Moses. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken also unto you. So the first thing we see with the commitment of the people, we see their commitment, they commit themselves to a life of surrender. They confess their cooperation because they say, all that thou commandest us, we will do. We will be obedient. We're willing to do anything you tell us to do. And then they say, wherever you send us, we will go. What's he mean by that? Well, they were available to go anyway. This really applies to the tribe of Reuben, because Reuben, there was nothing in for them going crossing that Jordan River. As they would cross that Jordan River, they said, listen, we already have our land. So do you think they were putting their heart into it when they're fighting for with the tribe of Simeon? Do you think when they're up there in the mountains and fighting the battle, do you think they were saying, listen, let's push on, let's push on, defeat these guys? Maybe they were saying that so we can get back home with their families. That would have been a good enough incentive also. So first of all, they were obedient. All that you told us, we will do. And then they were available. Any place that you send us, we will go. And then we see their commitment. We will hearken unto you, just as we listened to Moses. But this almost sounds like when Moses was going to go up the mountain and receive the Ten Commandments, the people said to him, all that you tell us to do, we will do. But it wasn't much longer. We see them worshiping the golden calf. So they were committed to a life of surrender. They were willing to do anything God would have them do. And then they were committing themselves to a life of submission. They would not only just listen to what God had to say, but they would be doing what God had to say. And they were not just following a man. They were following a man that was following God. And then finally, they commit themselves to a life of separation. In verse 18, it says, whosoever he that does rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto your words, he shall be put to death. So they're saying, listen, we are with you so much that if there's anybody that's disobedient to you and God's word, that we're going to put this person to death. It might have been pretty hard to do if a father looks at his son and his son wasn't doing what Joshua said. All of a sudden, he would say, come here, son, I want to talk to you. And he tells him, and the son says, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to fight that battle. And that person would have to be taken and put to death because of disobedience. So just in review, it was a call of God, call from God. God was speaking to Joshua. Has God ever spoken to you? We have a young girl down in the country of Peru right now. God was speaking to her. Have we been praying for this young lady? We always have the saying, out of sight, out of mind. In those countries, travel is very dangerous, and we should be praying for Jody. It was a call from God that he might have confidence in God, that he might depend upon what God said, and that he might meditate upon the Word of God, and he might get close to God. So I think there's a real big lesson. We're at the Bible study a few weeks ago, and after the chapter was over, Dan Frew says, what can we take home from this? What's the take home? Well, the first thing is, has God ever spoken to you? There's going to be a need for leadership in the future. A few weeks back, Brother Jock was in the hospital. What happens if Jock comes back and he said, well, I really can't do this anymore, you know? And slowly by slowly, the numbers of the leadership all of a sudden start getting smaller and smaller. We need men that are prepared to get into the God's Word and to study God's Word and be ready when God touches your heart. He can't use you if you're not prepared. He can't use you if you don't know God's Word. And then as leaders speak to us, we have to examine our hearts. As the men had listened to Joshua, what did they say? All that you have said unto us, we will do. And they were committed, not only by word of mouth like that, but they said, whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. Wherever you tell us to go, we will go there, and we will carry out your word to the utmost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank thee for men like Joshua, men like Caleb, that weren't afraid of the odds. They believed the promises of God. We're thankful that as we stand forth, Lord, that you go with us. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And he tells Joshua, don't be afraid, because nobody can stand up to you. And we think of Joshua, his greatest work maybe started at the age of 80 years of age. So God isn't finished with us when we're 60 or 70. God can still use us, Lord, and we just pray that we might make ourselves available, and we will go anywhere you would tell us to go. We can't imagine going to a country like Iraq or Iran or places like this that are wrought with danger. But there's believers that have left Canada and have gone to those places. There's believers that have gone to Peru. We pray also for the family that are the McKinley family that are down there, that have been dedicated their lives for the last 15 or 20 years down there too, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon them and your protection. Father, we give you thanks now as we have opened your word and read from it, and that we might take courage and be strong, that we might not be spiritual wimps, but we might really read your word and apply it in our lives. We give thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.